I got to say, congratulations, good job going out the door there. Great job. Our young people, when they come forward, that takes a lot of courage, doesn't it, for young people? Probably when you were young, you was called upon to come up or play or use some kind of gift or talent God give you. And it's, you know, standing in front of people, you kind of, but most time everybody's with you, right? I know one time I was reciting a scripture verse and some other stuff with it, and I got to the very last sentence, and there was one word I could not pronounce, so I forgot what it was, and I just stood there for eternity. And then I finally said, I'm through. And everybody started laughing. And I said, I'll never get in front of people again. And my mother said, they weren't laughing at you, they were laughing with you. And I said, I wasn't laughing. I said, I was scared to death. She said, that's fine. So here I am. I said, I'd never do it again. Here I am. Doing it again, right? All right. This morning, we're going to be looking at another parable. It's part two of Be in Readiness. How many of you are ready? I know you got ready, you came to church, you got your clothes on, everything. You know, physically, you're here, okay? Spiritually, are we ready? When the Lord will come back again, and that's what this parable is about. Jesus is talking to his disciples and alerting them to be ready, be prepared for his return. He came the first time, and he said, I'll come again. And there's a lot of scoffers and mockers out there in the world today. Said, well, he hadn't come back. Well, he will. I believe that, don't you?
Yep.
On his time. On his timetable. We're not on God's timetable.
Nope.
Our thoughts are not his, and his thoughts are not ours.
That's right.
But when God says, son, it's time. I believe when the last person on this earth is going to be saved, the Lord says, it's time. And that's just what I believe. That's what I think. And it is scriptural. It's in Romans. So, let me get my specs here. Look with me at Luke chapter 12, verse 35. And we're doing the second part. This morning, the master's who watches. And reading verse 35 again, down through 40, which says, be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him who when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve. That's talking about Christ. He will gird himself to serve and to have them to recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or even the third watch and finds them so, blessed are those servants. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken in two. And then verse 40, you too, be ready. There, the Lord says it again. You too, disciples, you too, believers, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. And that is true. That is true. And when we think about this message this morning, in this section, Jesus told two parables And one here in 35 through 40, and then verses 42 through 48, which I haven't got to that part yet, which were joined by the question by Peter in 41, which says, and Peter said, "Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or everyone else as well?" Now, that was Peter, okay? Now, when we think about Peter and some of the things, this second parable explains and expands on the first part. And Peter had a question to the Lord. You know, is that just for us? And Jesus had already told the disciples that the parables weren't meant for those non-believers because they wouldn't understand anyway because they did not believe in him personally and they did not have the Spirit of God within them to be able to discern the things that Jesus spoke in parables. But Jesus said, "You've been with me. You've seen me in action. You've seen me doing the Father's will. So the things I speak to you are spiritual things that you should be able to discern and know and apply and be ready when that time comes." And that's when he said twice, "Are you ready? Be ready." Now, here in verse 35 through 40, Jesus taught the disciples should be ready because the Son of Man will come at a time when they will not be expecting him. And that's what Jesus said. "Yes, I will be coming again." So this parable describes a scene in which several servants was watching for their master to return from a wedding banquet. And the point was that they had to remain constantly watchful so their master would be able to come in to the house when he arrived. So, if they were watching in verse 37 here and ready in verse 38, their master will serve them. He will come and he will serve. And again, I've mentioned this before. Jesus said, "I did not come to be served, but to serve." Now, what should that tell us as Christians? We should serve, right? If he came to serve, we should serve as well because we are Christ-like. We have the Spirit of God within us, and he has given or entrusted or bestowed upon our lives the gifts and talents, and we are to use those for his honor and glory. Now, the second watch was from 9 p.m. to midnight, and the third watch was of midnight to 3 a.m. So the point of the words about the thief in verse 39 is the same, and the disciples must, what? Be ready, for the Son of Man will come unexpectedly. So now, let's look at the second part, verses 39 through 40, of the master who watches. The master, of course, Jesus himself. So here in verse 39 through 40, we find a different parable, one which is obviously very brief, but to the point. Brent often says to me, "Less is best, get to the point, get it done," and that's what I do, right? I listen to him. So when Jesus spoke about the master, he wasn't referring to himself, as he did in the previous parables, as I've shared a lot of those already. So he simply used an illustration of a homeowner who had left his guard down, okay? And what, in a sense, what the scriptures are saying here, the Son of Man return is compared to a thief. You know, if you in our day and time, in a lot of places, and thank goodness we live in an area we don't have to be on guard all the time. You never know. Been in big cities and certain places, people are always on guard because they never know when somebody's going to break in or steal or do something in this day and time. Also, this is not an image of Jesus coming to take what does not belong to him. It's a proverb for unpredictable or sudden event that's going to take place one of these days. And since Christians cannot know the time of the return of Jesus, we don't know, it is implied that they must continually watch and always be prepared for his return. And it's going to happen. It will happen. We just got to be ready and prepared at all times. And that's what Jesus was telling the disciples. People in those days, like Paul, he was expecting Christ to return in his day. But Jesus said, you know, it's not the hour and it's not the time. You just be doing what I've instructed you to do. So just as alertness allows the owner of the house to prevent the secret approach of a thief, so the disciples need to watch for the unexpected return of the Lord. Otherwise, he is like the homeowner is like a burglarized owner who suffers loss or distress. And Jesus cautioned the people not to let their guard down. Now, in 2 Thessalonians, we observe that the believers of Thessalonica were preoccupied with parousia. Now, parousia, I'll explain that what that is, which is the return of Christ. That's him coming back. That's the Greek word for Jesus' return. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and you can read this later on today, 6 through 13, Paul noticed something disturbing that was taking place among the believers. And you know what? I think it is true today in our lives or in the churches today. Because Paul mentioned this, and things that happen today that happened years ago in the Old Testament sometimes are repeated, right? You know, you've often heard people say history repeats itself. No, we repeat history a lot of times. And that's what Paul is saying here, I think. He noticed something that disturbing here with the believers. They weren't working at their jobs, nor were they following the Great Commission. Why? Because they felt that Christ would return and like immediate in the future. I mean, soon. And that's why they kind of let their guards down, and they weren't even doing the Great Commission. They weren't out witnessing like they should. And Paul called their attention to that. Hey, you know, look at me, Paul was saying. I haven't stopped doing what God has instilled or entrusted in my lives. I'm building churches. I'm going on mission trips. I'm doing this for the Lord. And I will do this until he comes again. But the Thessalonica church had just kind of relaxed and said, well, the Lord's coming back, so why should we be doing anything? And I think that's a lot of mindset in the world today. So this expectation, this parousia for the day of the Lord, Paul's words of Jesus, will come like a thief in the night. Now, since believers in Thessalonica thought that Jesus would return soon, they reasoned among themselves. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people reasoning among themselves today. If Christ is coming back, then what's the point of working? Well, that was their thought. They also thought, what's the point of ministering when we're going home soon? Now, who wants to be idle and stand before the Lord and with try to come up with all kind of excuses? Well, we knew you was coming, so we just thought we would lay low, not do nothing till you come, and we'd be in your presence. Well, you think the Lord would be happy with that? I don't think so. I don't think he would at all. And then, because our work here is almost over. Well, we don't know that. But we need to keep constantly doing the Great Commission, doing what God has instilled, entrusted us in our spiritual gifts. So what would happen if we as Christians reason that Christ is coming back soon, and there is no more need to be concerned about witnessing or working anymore? We'd be discrediting God's call in our lives, in the life of the church. And there would be people who would miss out on coming to know Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that that concerns me as a pastor, as a Christian, is our witness for the Lord. You know, it's not our responsibility to make someone become a Christian. It's our responsibility to share Jesus Christ and let the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, do the work in their lives. See, we're witnesses. We are ministers, each and every one of us. And the Thessalonica church had let themselves be slack in that area. And that's why Paul called their attention to, you're not doing the Great Commission. You know, the Lord gave us a great command before he ascended back to the Father, that we are to go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, making disciples in all nations. So that is what we should be doing until the Lord comes back again. Now, it's not a hard thing to do. We talk to people every day, don't we, about something? What do you talk about the most? A lot of people talk about the weather, right? You talk about your family. You talk about things that are of great interest to you. One of the greatest interests that we as Christians should have on our heart and mind is to share Jesus with someone. We never know when that person is hurting, that person is searching for something much greater in their life than what they have. There's people are searching for something, and when they find Jesus, that's it. They found it all. That's what sustains each and every one of us each day in our lives. I would not want to be in this world without Jesus at all. Not at all. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, and I told you to read this this afternoon, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 6 through 13. But here in verse 13, Paul admonished believers in Thessalonica, do not grow weary in doing good. We shouldn't, should we? Because we're blessed. God gives us that opportunity to do good things in his name. That's why the Bible said that Jesus went about doing good. Why would Paul even mention that? Because he was following the example of Jesus. You know, Paul was all in for the Lord. When he got his attention on the Damascus Road, he was all in, and therefore his mind, his heart was set on reaching people for the Lord. So, Let's not quit what we're doing because we think that Christ is coming back soon, or we think that he's not coming back at all. We know that Christ did not come in the lifetime of the Thessalonica. We know that. And we know that Christ will come one of these days. But if Paul had not encouraged them to continue living, then they probably would have been dead in more ways than one. That's my thinking as I read and as I study the Thessalonica, the church in Thessalonians. They would have been dead spiritually, and as they failed to serve the Lord, they would not have been at use for the Lord at all. So Paul also told him, if anyone will not work, neither shall they eat. Now that's scriptural. That is in 2 Thessalonians 3:10. How many of you knew that verse was in the Bible? Yeah, okay. It's there. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Now, notice how the encouragement of watch and ready occurs twice in this short parable. Jesus said it twice to the disciples. He wanted to get their attention. You know, sometimes Jesus mentioned things more than just once. Because I know in reading in the gospel, he mentioned things more than once to the disciples, and they still didn't always get it. Do we always get it? We hear it, we read it, we study it, and we still don't always get it. So that's why Jesus mentioned it again. So this verb is in present tense of the continuous actions. Watch and be ready. Watch and be ready. Now, it means keeping our eyes on the Lord. Be always ready. Always ready. So, believers are encouraged to be mindful of what is happening in world affairs. Now, we should be attentive to what's going on in this world. You know why? Because from the Old Testament through the New, prophecy is being fulfilled daily. Well, actually, by the minute. Prophecy is being fulfilled. The things, the troubles, the chaos, the things that are going on in the world is happening on God's timetable. And that's why we should be watching, and we should always be ready to give an account as well. So, we are to be mindful of what is happening in world affairs, especially moral and spiritual matters, and avoid the attitude of indifference. There is so much indifference in this world today. Nobody can agree on anything, right? They can't. That's why there's so much confusion and turmoil in our world today. So the uncertainty of the date of the Lord's return does not give us an excuse to be unprepared. If you want to be prepared, get into the Word of God, read it, study it, and say, Lord, reveal to me what I need to know to help me to be ready, or first of all, to be watching and be ready. For the Christian or for anyone in this world, we need that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So when we do that, we're prepared. We're prepared because our heart, our soul belongs to the Lord. And then after that point, then we're always watching and waiting and being ready for the Lord's return. And that way, when we stand before the Lord, we don't have to say, well, you know, I meant to do that yesterday. I meant to change my way of thinking, my action, my conduct, but, you know, I wasn't expecting you to come today. As we stand before the Lord, We stand before Him with no excuses, right? Because when we are judged by Him, He's going to be right. We have to accept that. And He'll be a righteous judge. But just remember, always be ready prepared for His coming. You know, Matthew chapter 25, verse 23, it says, to those who are ready and prepared and doing good, going about doing good in this world, one of these days, Jesus is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I like to go back to when Jesus was baptized. He looked at John, he said, John, I need to be baptized, and you're going to do it. And John said, hey, wait a minute. I'm not even worthy to unlace your sandals. You need to be baptized in me. And Jesus said, no, that the Father's will be done to fulfill why I came to this world. John baptized him. He come up out of the water. And as Jesus was walking up on the banks out of the Jordan River, the clouds opened. Father said, this is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased. Jesus did everything the Father told him to do. Now, we're talking about Jesus' two natures in our Bible study just two past Wednesday nights. About Jesus going into the wilderness and being tempted, and He used the Word of God as His defense. And that's how we defend ourselves against Satan in this world today. We use scriptures. And Jesus did that each time He was tempted by Satan. In His divine nature, that's the nature that was in control of Jesus' life at all points in time. And see, our lives can be controlled by the spiritual aspect of our relationship with Jesus Christ because we belong to Him. Now, if we turn to the old nature, then temptation will overtake us. But if we lean to the divine side of the nature that the Lord has given us, we can be, the scripture said, we can be Christ-like. We can be like Jesus in our decisions and choosing right over wrong. And being ready is part of that. So in conclusion this morning, in verse 41, I want to go back to that verse because verse 41 is where Peter asked a question. He asked, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And both of these parables we have seen today apply to all of Jesus' disciples, and they serve as a word of caution to each and every believer in Jesus Christ, and that's including us, that if we take our eyes off of Jesus and begin to slack off, then the working of the kingdom of God, which He came for, will suffer. Reminds me, going back to Paul's encounter of Jesus on the road to Damascus. Ananias was taking care of Paul. Of course, he didn't want to do that at first, but Jesus said, Ananias, Paul is going to do a great work on the sake of the kingdom of God. And then Jesus said, he will suffer much for the sake of the kingdom. And he did. He did. Paul knew that. And he wasn't willing to back down at all. So both parables we see today apply to all disciples and us as well. They serve as a word of caution to each and every believer in Jesus Christ that if we take our eyes off of Jesus and begin to slack off, then the work of the kingdom will suffer. Now, I wanted to say that again because we need to hear that. We need to keep our waist girded and ready for work and be alert and watchful at all times so that we don't miss any opportunity to share the love of Jesus. You know what? It is a blessing to share Jesus Christ with others. It is a blessing, a true blessing. Jesus said that we need to be diligent in all seasons. And even Paul told Timothy, in season, out of season, we are to share the gospel. Does that mean rain, shine, hail, sleet, snow, bad times, good times, anytime? Yes, that's what it means. That's exactly what it means. So the resurrected Lord reminded the church at Sardis. And I wanted to share this morning because Jesus spoke to the seven churches about their slackness in the king for doing their part for the kingdom of God. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 3, just kind of highlight or paraphrase this. Jesus reminded the church of Sardis, so remember what you have received and heard, keep it, and then it says, repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and there's a thief in the night, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. Jesus' words. So therefore, these two parables serve as an encouragement. See, they're encouragement to us. It's not to discourage us, but it's encourage us. Encourage us to be confident and wait on the Lord's return. And they also serve as a warning for the unprepared as well to take heed. Truly, unprepared person is someone who is lost without knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. Jesus told the church at Sardis, again, I want to go back to that verse 3, repent, and if you do not wake up, I will come as a thief. And see, that's when it's going to happen, when we least expect it. When do you injure yourself, or when you trip or fall or do something that's really silly? It's when you least expect it, right? You stump your toe, you don't pick up your foot or something. You do stuff when you least expect it. Well, that's what Jesus is saying here. When you least expect it, I'm going to come back like a thief. So, in our preparation for the Lord, you know, I'd like to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it talks about the Lord's coming back again. And here Paul is preparing the people to have a watchful mind, watchful spirit. Because he said, when he comes back, he's going to come back with the blink of an eye. A twinkling is what the scripture says. That means that before you can blink, twinkle your eyes, the Lord will come back. So that means that we need to always be prepared spiritually, having that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing that in our hearts that we will be ready for His return. And then when the Lord comes back again, the skies will open up. Can you just imagine that? How many of you like to look at into a beautiful blue sky? We, all of us do. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And don't you think when Christ comes back, it's going to be beautiful? When you see His appearing, dead in Christ will rise first. Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and those who are alive and remain, that's you and I, dead in Christ will rise first. Our mothers and our fathers and our brothers and sisters, cousins and uncles and aunts and all those who are in the Lord will rise first. And those who are alive and remain, that's us, will be called up. That's what that called up means. And you've heard rapture all your life, right? You've heard rapture. Well, that's what that word rapture means, called up. Rapture's not in the Bible. Right, Vicki?
Right.
Right. we talked about that Wednesday night, that you thought it was in there. And I know I talked to a lot of people. I've had people say, Pastor Mike, where is that word rapture in the Bible? I said, you mean called up? No, the word rapture. I said, it's not there, but the word called up, what it means, is there. And it means that we will be called up. Jesus will not even touch the earth. We'll meet him in the sky. What a glorious time that will be. And be certain that you are prepared by repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Years ago, I witnessed to a man dying of cancer on his deathbed. He only had probably days to live, and I went to visit with him when I was at Logansport, Indiana. He did not know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He'd been invited to church. He told me that. I don't know how many accounts of people was inviting me to church. I didn't see no need to go to church. Didn't see anything I needed to do as far as serving the Lord. I was doing fine. But he said, now, here I am. I'm on my back. And the only thing I can do now is pray. And he said, Pastor Mike, will you help me to understand what I need to do? All these years I've wasted to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I do that? Even though here I'm on my deathbed. I said, God is gracious and loving. If you have a repentant heart, and you're truly sorrowful for your sins and your neglect over the years to leave him out of your life, then he'll be your righteous judge one of these days. But if you repent of your sin, confess all of them right now, I do believe he will come in your heart and give you eternal life. I hope to see him one of these days. His name is Jim Doyle. 2 days later, he died. But you know, I went back the next day to visit with him again. He had the biggest smile on his face. I said, Jim, you look really good today. He said, you know, I'm good today. Because he said, I got saved. You led me to the Lord. And he said, now I have peace that I've never had before. He said, I wished I'd never wasted all those years. He said, that's the blessing I've missed. But he said, now I know I have peace with the Lord and I will stand before him. 2 days later, he died. We never know, do we? I thank the Lord. I prayed with him. I said, thank you, Lord, for saving Jim. There's others we never know that need the Lord now. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for the messages that you teach us here in the parables. They're so important for us to know as Christians. And Lord, for those that are not Christians, that don't understand, it's because they don't have the discernment the Spirit of Christ within their lives to be able to discern the Scriptures. And that's where we come in play, that we can help them understand. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip approached him and said, "Do you understand what you're reading? How can unless somebody explains it?" Well, that's where we fall in. That's where we fill that gap to help people understand the Scriptures. If they don't know you personally, then they can, because we are there to teach them and lead them in your direction. Lord, help us be prepared and ready at all times, because we never know when you're coming back. We never know the circumstances of the each day, what's going to take place. For in our hearts, Lord, we know we love you and you love us, and we are a part of your kingdom. We're part of the kingdom of God. And we thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to be a part of your great creation. And help us, Lord, as you have commanded us through the Great Commission, to teach others that one of these days you will be coming again, and they need to be ready and confess and have that personal relationship with you. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know you personally, Lord, they can before they leave. Anyone listening live, likewise, can know you personally by confessing and repenting of their sins. We praise you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to stand.